Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to cry in front of you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I always forget what October is. And I don't know how it sneaks up on me every single year. And you guys always do something. And people always say, like, hey, I just want to do something for you and Rachel for pastor appreciation. And Paul Yester actually said, hey, I hope you, this month, you get everything you've ever wanted or needed. And listen, I have it. I really do. I'm the richest man in the world. Just walking around and looking at you all and seeing the growth in this place and what we get to be a part of. Listen, there's Sundays I want to sleep in. I'm just being really honest with you. I really, really am. But I'm not called to do that. And then on my way here every Sunday, it's unbelievable. So I have everything I've ever wanted. I have the biggest family in the world, and I grew up always wanting that. And listen, that's before all of you. You get to have the same thing. It's not just because I'm the pastor. I had the biggest family in the world before I was a pastor, before I ever knew I was going to be a pastor, just as a son in the house. I'm talking 17 years ago, I figured out I had the biggest family in the world. More grandmas and grandpaps and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters than I ever could imagine. And I found that out just sweeping the floors at North Braddock. And I'll talk more about that. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father God, I thank you so much for how powerful the invitation, follow me, is. And how it can change and transform a life. And God, I pray that there are lives in this room today that will be changed and transformed because of that invitation. Lord, I pray that because of the process that follows accepting that invitation of follow me, that lives will be changed and transformed. God, I thank you for every individual that's in this room that can hear my voice, both live and on the recording, online. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Our launching verse for this entire series is Mark 1, verse 17. And it says, and Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they became something. Immediately they became and they began to become. They were shown how. So, there's so many of us that are sitting here today, and we've accepted the invitation to follow him. We've accepted the invitation to be here today. Some of you, you accepted the invitation just because you were tired of being invited and you wanted that person to stop nagging you. Some of you, you accepted the invitation because of a girl. That's why I'm here. She's now my wife. Some of you, you accepted the invitation and you're excited that somebody stepped out in faith and invited you because you were yearning for something. But now you're here and you're waiting to become something. But when the disciples, they accepted the invitation and they started to follow him, they immediately became fishers. They immediately became something. Notice that it says immediately. If you look up the word immediately, it means right away. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I figured that one out pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, immediately. Okay? But we see this and we read it, and we put our own little translation on it. I will make you become fishers of men after you know every verse in the Bible, you get your doctorate in theology and doctrine, and then you become the smartest person in the world, and you become super educated, and you finish all this training. I'll become something after I finish all these things I think I have to do. I will never forget when Rachel grew up in the church. She was born into the church. She was blessed with Christian parents that raised her in a God-fearing home with a biblical worldview. And then she tried to go get a bad boy. I'll never forget the night of my ordination, she was walking up the steps. I said, "Do you ever think you'd marry a pastor?" And she rounded the corner on her steps, said, "I never wanted to." And I was like, and she came running back down the steps. "That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant." I was like, "Well, thank you for clarifying." Forgot where I was going. Where was I going? Anybody shout it out? I literally forgot. Immediately. That's what I got. That's what I got. How's everybody doing today? It was a really good point I was getting ready to make. It was going to change your life. But God wanted to take it, get rid of it. You don't have to learn. Oh, here we go. I got it back. Rachel and I were invited to start teaching in children's ministry. Rachel knew so much. I remember I was learning alongside her and we were teaching. I didn't grow up going to kids' church or Bridge City Kids, or I didn't have that. We were learning about Jonah and the whale, and I was like, oh, what? What? I was learning alongside these kids. Now, obviously, I knew a little bit more than that, but I was like a sponge with Rachel. I remember there was one kid, he asked me a question, and I didn't know the answer, and I was like, if I give you the answer, I'm not teaching you anything. You need to go home, study, find out, come back and tell me, because that is how you learn. That's what a teacher does, right? And then I went to Rachel. I was like, "Hey, babe, we got to figure this out, because Joel asked me a question. I have no idea." And then sometimes people would shout stuff out, and I'd be like, "Joel, is that correct?" I'm serious. God will always call you to a level above what you're comfortable with, because he didn't call you to be comfortable. So if you're sitting here today and you're comfortable, and I'm not just talking about the seats that Benedetti fought for. Because listen, when we get a new building and God blesses us with our permanent home, these chairs aren't coming with us. We're going to get new ones. We're going to get new ones. Yeah, you'd be involved in that. We will have a chair testing panel. We're getting new ones, Benedetti. We serve a big God. But listen, are you comfortable? If you're comfortable, it's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable because Jesus wants to make you into something. He wants you to become something. He didn't do what he did on the cross so that he could stop manufacturing you into something. He didn't stop the construction process. Listen, the Bible mentions disciples 270 times. The Bible uses the word Christian 3 times. Unfortunately, becoming a Christian is the goal of so many people. 270 times, 3 times. Which one do you think the goal should be? A Christian or a disciple? Jesus used believe in me, the statement believe in me, 5 times. He used the statement follow me 20 times. 4 times more, follow me versus believe in me. Obviously, he wants you to believe in him, but after that, he doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to keep it moving. Believe in him and then follow him. Keep moving. Now, sometimes following can be frustrating. It can be hard. It's not easy. But you get to the destination eventually. Now, when you get to the destination, are you going to get there with joy and excitement? Or are you going to get to the destination like, you can't believe what I had to do to get here? I'm talking about heaven. When you stand before him, is it going to be, oh man, I'm here. Woo! Or, I didn't think I was going to get here. I really didn't. Made a couple wrong turns, and yeah. You know what word isn't used in the Bible? Mentor. 0 times. You know what word our culture loves? Oh, I just have a mentor. My mentor is just pouring into me so much. I'm just being mentored. My mentor, oh, I just love mentorship. That's a great word in the corporate world, but we're not in the corporate world. We're in the kingdom. A coach is a great thing. They give great advice. They guide you. They advise you. I want to follow Jesus. I don't need a mentor. Now, it's great to have a coach and an advisor and those things whenever we're talking about, I need a mentor for my marriage. I need somebody to coach me. I need somebody to advise me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to equip me. I need somebody to empower me. When it comes to finances, you can empower me. You can equip me. You can empower me. You can push me forward. But when it comes to like straight up kingdom stuff, I want you to push me towards Jesus and disciple me. Now, obviously, there's discipleship aspects to mentoring, but discipling, there's another level. We're going somewhere. There's a covenant, there's a covenantal aspect to it. We're learning, we're doing. I'm a student, I'm a pupil, I'm following the teacher and the teaching. I'm following you as you follow Christ. Somebody else is following me as I follow Christ. There's a turn of thoughts, there's a turn of actions. There's a distinct difference. Complete obedience. There's a big difference, and we're going somewhere. Mark 3, here we go, 13 through 15. There's a deeper engagement coming for the disciples. There's a deeper engagement coming for us and all of us within the church. And I'm excited for it. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain, and he called out the ones he wanted to go with him. Imagine being like standing with Jesus. You're by a mountain. He's like, hey, yo, let's go. I'd be like, whew. Here we go. We're hiking again. Let's do it. They didn't have Hokas back then. They didn't have Brooks. They didn't have like great hiking equipment. They're just doing it. Yeah, they had Air Moseses. And they came to him. And then there's 3 powerful words we're going to focus on today. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him. And he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. Everybody say appointed. like you mean it. Say it real good. Appointed. Appointed. All right, here we go. A company. Authority. You know what they just got? They got their AAA membership. How many of you have AAA? Not as many as I thought. Huh. How many of you remember triptychs? Triptychs were maps. They were huge maps. Like, you had to unfold, and they covered your whole entire windshield to get places. Yeah. Triptych. I'm going to go get a triptych. Why? Huh? There was no internet. There was no... That's scary. Like, just you, people just went places. They just, the followers of Jesus back then were, you guys, kudos to you. You guys just followed and just went. No wonder there was no restaurants or anything. Nobody would go if they didn't know how to get there. Couldn't get a triptych. All right, let's focus on these three words. Appointed. Make something out of them. Jesus is going to construct, manufacture. They had an appointment with something bigger. To accompany him, to go with. After they were with him, there was a change. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That statement rings true. You ever hang out with somebody and after you're with them, you're different? Either in a good way or a bad one. Really early on in my Christian walk, I remember Rachel and I first got married. She would say, "You need to go spend some time with Pastor Rick and the guys. You need to." Sometimes I would just start acting different, so she would say it. Guy night. Got her. Joke's on you. No. But listen, when you spend time with somebody, you're different. Benedetti and I share the same love and passion for cologne. We love cologne. Love a good cologne. Listen, you give me a hug, you're going to smell like my cologne. It's good cologne. I'm just saying. You give Benedetti a hug, you're going to smell like his cologne. It's good cologne, too. We bought him a couple bottles before. Polo Red Intense. It's like the highly intensified model. But you spend time with Benedetti and his wonderful wife, Benedettiette. You're gonna become like them. You spend time with your connection group and your connection group leader and the people within your connection group, you're going to start to become like those people. It's inevitable. You start spending time with your church family more, you're going to become like them. But you know what the enemy will do? Stay home. Stay home. Here we go, the four stages of Christianity here. Believers, a company. They just acknowledge God. This is the people that have really kind of just bought into the stay-home mentality. Now, you may be a believer in the room. That's great. You're acknowledging God. You're trying to figure this deal out. You couldn't be in a better place. You couldn't be in a better, more safe place to figure it out. Here's the next step. Start asking some healthy questions and not staying there. A majority of the world believes. Even the demons believe in God. Now, we take a step forward and we're Christians. We have some qualities that resemble God. We started walking it out a little bit. Majority of people stay here. But remember, this is only mentioned three times in the Bible. This isn't the goal. This isn't the end result. Then we have some followers actively pursuing who Jesus is, a relationship with God, learning to be selfless, surrendered, submitted, and serving him in his kingdom and his house. Then we have the few, the proud, the disciples. Complete obedience to the word of God. This is a key word that we added as we continue the series. There's multiplication. You're multiplying yourself. You're pouring yourself into others. That's that accompany me, be with me. You're hanging out with people. You're pouring your life into other people. That's 2 Timothy 2:2. Do what you've seen me do and teach in front of other people and start doing that with other people. I don't care what you're passing on. If you're on the construction team and you're the best constructor in the world, somebody better be learning beside you. If you're on our facilities team, thank you to the amazing facility team that we have. It's an amazing gift and talent that you have. You passing that on to somebody else. We're always replacing ourselves. Follows the teacher and the teaching. When you hear this, you apply it. It's not just like, oh, that was nice. Let's go to lunch. Speaking of lunch, you know, most people in the service industry hate Sundays because the Christian crowd are the worst tippers and miserable and rude. You know, that's a real statement. I worked in restaurants. That's a shame. Anyways, that was free. I added that in. Here we go. After these four stages, we realize that the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the cross, the fewer people there are. The more you grow, the fewer people there are. I've realized over the years, I've lost a lot of relationships. Because people have, you know, ran away from Jesus. They've left the kingdom, gotten angry with God and pulled people into it, or gotten angry with people and pulled God into it. And I've realized, like, I got a few people that I'm going to share my whole life with. My whole life. Obviously, family. They're not going anywhere. They can't get rid of me. They're never getting rid of me. And I'll never get rid of them. But then you got that family that same dad, different mom. Something that just went over your head. They're not going anywhere. That's what growing in the kingdom looks like. That's what accepting follow me looks like. So God's inviting every single one of us at Bridge City Church to go to another level, and it's time to get real and get right with him. If you've accepted that invitation to follow me, he's saying, hey, come on, let's go. Stop being comfortable. So who's invited to follow? Mark 8:34, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. If any of you wants to be my follower, he didn't say a select few. He didn't say some of you. He didn't say just the ones that are smart enough. He didn't say just the ones that dress right. He didn't say just the ones that smell right. He said any of you wants to be my follower, give up your own way. It's another key statement. Your way doesn't matter anymore. My way goes, and this is not a suggestion box. We don't pick and choose what we follow. It's not easy. You know, as a pastor, I'm most so blessed. I'm so thankful. You want to really, really, really bless me? I'll tell you how in a few minutes, but there's been a few times, and by a few, I mean a lot, but I'll share one story. I had to really stand firm to the Word of God. This was a young couple. They asked Rachel and I, they wanted to start pre-marriage counseling, and they wanted to get married, and you know, they were living together. And obviously, you know, we believe what the Bible says, and we believe that living together prior to marriage is not God-honoring and right in the eyes of God. It was really hard to, you know, sit down, have these conversations, and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account for you and for your lives. You call me pastor, and I can't stand before God knowing this. So, if we're going to start this process and do this, we need to get right before God before we do it. And they said, we appreciate you being, you know, so honest with us. Blah, 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 blah. They couldn't do that. So for a long period, they were gone. They get married. Then they come back. And they said, thank you so much for being so God-honoring and so true to what the Bible says. And we appreciated that so much. And that's why we're here. That's why this can be a place that we're going to raise our family. We knew we weren't living right. And we appreciate that you did the hard thing, but the right thing. And I don't know what the hard thing and the right thing is for you in your life right now. But that's what taking up your cross and giving up your own way looks like. My dad was not a Christian. He accepted Jesus, I believe, but he was serving Orthodox. And he used to make this statement all the time, oh, it's just my cross to bear. And it was always in regards to a negative thing, like 16-hour days at Egger Thompson, U.S. Steel. Oh, it's just my cross to bear. Fern is broke. Just my cross to bear. We need a new roof. Oh, just my cross to bear. You know, it's just like a negative thing. But I look at this as such a joy. Pick up your cross. Just as Jesus. Jesus knew the joy that was going to come from the cross for all of us and so many more that have yet to accept it. The cross that we get to take part in is such a joy, such a privilege, such an honor that we get to take part in the kingdom and serve in this way. You know, I said it's time to get right and go to another level and get real with God, and he's calling to the crowd and asking the disciples to join in and everybody else who wants to, and there's an invitation to inconvenience. Doesn't that sound great? Hey, please RSVP to inconvenience for the rest of your life. Let me talk to you about some inconvenience, but an inconvenience that'll change you and impact the rest of your life. Our Band of Brothers conference is coming up. I'm speaking to the men. If you haven't registered yet, you need to get registered. There's 252 men already registered. There's only 325 spots. They will fill up. It was $90 when we first started talking about it. It was $125, and I just got made aware it's $140 now. Procrastination pays. It always does. That's not us. That's NRP. So thank Pastor Keith for raising that. But if you're a man, you need to get there. I'm done just inviting. It's something that will change your life. And you're like, oh, Pastor, you're just sharing that because you're the pastor. And you, no, I'm sharing this because I would have shared this before I was the pastor, because this conference changed my life. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I got in a room with 300 plus men, and it impacted my life immensely and changed it. Because I got to see what Christian men look like. I got to hear the power of 300 plus men worshiping God with complete abandonment. It'll change you. And if money's an issue, that's only because you created it. If you go before your brothers and humble yourself and say, hey, I don't have the money, this is all I got, I guarantee you the rest will be fulfilled in seconds. George, is that correct? George, I'm not going to put you on blast, but I am now, I'm sorry. George came, he humbled himself, he said, Pastor Nick, I don't have $90. I said, what do you have? He said, I don't have 90. I said, I didn't ask what you don't have. I said, what do you have? He said, I don't have 90. I said, George, you're hearing the wrong thing. I didn't ask what you don't have. I said, what do you have? He said, I don't have the 90. I said, George, stop focusing on what you don't have. What do you have? He said, I got like $5. I'm like, all right. The rest was taken care of. Literally, there were people in my back pocket putting money in my back pocket as he was talking. It was done. It was done. So if you're sitting here saying, I don't have 140, what do you have? Stop focusing on what you don't have. The enemy wants you to focus on what you don't have. I don't have time. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, you might seriously not have time, so it might not be a lie, but most of the time it is. Now, I hear all the ladies chattering, how can I be a part? I heard it. I mean, it was rude that you guys were talking as I was speaking, but I'm going to answer the question now. Here it is. Guys, you get the pay to serve because you're going to serve there. You're going to be a part. There are men ushering. There's men greeting. There's men being a part. You're going to create an atmosphere for all these people that are coming in to be a part of this conference. And that's the part that changed my life. I remember waking up to be at the church at 4:45 in the morning so we can unlock the doors and make sure the coffee was on and we could start serving breakfast. I remember being there at 5 in the morning and leaving at midnight. And that's before I was on staff. I wasn't paid. This is 15 years ago, people. This is before I knew I was going to be a pastor. This is before the calling was placed on my life. This is before I answered the call and any anointing had fallen. This is where I fell in love with serving the kingdom. So somebody's going to fall in love with serving the kingdom here. I'm talking to the men and the ladies here. So I remember what it was like to go to the airport at 3:30 in the morning to pick up Pastor Dick Flores from his flight from Spain. And how honored I felt. How privileged I felt to be there with Tyler Cole, to think, who am I to pick up this man? Be able to carry his bags. Who am I to be chosen for this? To make sure my car was clean enough. And it was shining. And then we took him to Sheetz. He's like, what's a Sheetz? I was like, no, don't ask like that. It's a gas station. He's like, what's a Sheetz? I was like, that's a different question. And with your Spanish accent, it sounds a little different. I became an armor bearer. And I was blessed and honored. The ladies, listen, there's going to be 325 guys. Those bathrooms are going to be put to the test, and we're going to get to clean them. All of them. I'm serious. I'm going to clean them too. I'm going to be there. We're going to make sure that North Braddock is shining. And that house is so beautiful to welcome every single person there. We get to serve food. We get to prepare food in a brand new kitchen that I've been praying for 18 years. Some people in this room have been praying for it for 40. State-of-the-art kitchen. Beautiful. We have a salamander now. If you don't know what a salamander is, Google it. Jesus. Who knows what a salamander is in a kitchen? Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. No, everybody else is like, you got a slug? 8. You got a slug in the kitchen? Beautiful. And memories are going to be made. Listen, there are ladies in this room that you've bought into the biggest lie that the enemy has within the church on ladies. Nobody sees me. Nobody cares about me. No, I'm not connected with anybody. You know how you kick the devil in the face? Go serve with a bunch of ladies at the Band of Brothers conference. I'm serious. You think everybody's just going to come up to you and, hey, how are you? What's your name? How do you feel today? You really getting attacked? Do you want to get coffee this week? And just random people are just going to come up to you and make that? No, you serve with people and you get in a group of people and they find out who you are. I'm serious. This is important. I know I took a lot of time, but this is important. This is how you accept the invitation to follow me, and he takes you places. Get to the connection point and sign up. People asked me this morning, how many spaces are still available? Tons. They'll never get filled, ever. There's always an empty spot. They will never be filled. There's always room for one more to serve. Right, Sarah? Show me your people you're hanging out with, and I'll show you your future. Jesus even knew this. Jesus spent so much time with his Father. There's so many verses. You could take a picture of it, the slide. Look at all the times in the Bible. There's even more, but this is just a few we put up. Jesus spent so much time with his Father. Here it comes. It's coming in 1, 2, 2.5, 2.75. Here it is. 3. Take a picture of it. Read these verses. This is Jesus spent time with his Father. He only did what he saw his Father in heaven doing. Well, I don't know what to do. Spend time with Jesus, and then he'll tell you. This is not a recommendation book. This ain't a triptych. It doesn't give you good ideas on what to do during your travels. Jesus spent time with his Father, and we must spend time with Jesus. Have we made time for him? Time for the Word, time to worship, time to speak to him, and time to understand his purpose, not only for his church, but for us as individuals. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. When we hear God, it prompts our faith. You know, it's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me. There could be a room full of crying children. A mother could be 50 yards away and she could hear one of them. She'd be like, that's mine. What happened to my baby? Who hurt my baby? Who pushed him? They know. Or what did my child do? They know. Why do they know that that's their child crying? Or that's their child that got hurt? Why do you think they know? Take a shot in the dark here. They spend time with them. They know them. That's why a mother knows the cry of their child, because they spend time with them. Now let's flip it. If you know Jesus' voice, how do you think you're going to start to know it and understand it? You spend time with him. Listen, I know Rachel's voice because I spend time with her. She doesn't think this, but I listen to her. I am a great listener. She says, I know you're listening, but you don't hear me. I get it. I understand. She needs to talk louder. You got flowers, Dave. Listen, you bought into this deal. So many people say to me, Pastor, I've never heard God before. Just listen. Still yourself. Remove all the distractions. And just listen. It's not going to be this big, booming, audible voice. It's going to be this still voice. Sometimes it's a big audible voice. Sometimes it's very clear. We hear God, obviously, through his word. We hear God through people, through his church, through worship, through prayer. We hear God in so many different ways. We think God's just going to call us on the phone and be like, hey, yo. No. We have to be able to understand when it's him. And we get to be better at understanding that with what? Time. He wants nothing more than time with his children. And listen, that last one, church, we always think that one's Sunday morning. That's not Sunday morning. That's church. That's anytime you're gathered with the people. You could have church where two or more gathered in my name. Church is connection group. Listen, I love having church at Buffalo Wild Wings. They brought the hot barbecue back, do you hear? It's my favorite sauce. I know I'm not even a huge barbecue sauce fan, but that hot barbecue sauce, there's something about it. And I'm not even a Buffalo Wild Wings fan. I just like it. I used to get 12 hot barbecue, 12 spicy garlic. That was it. Now I'm like 6 of each. Half the man I used to be. It really is true. Kevin found a picture. There's proof. How else do we hear God? Through our circumstances. Your circumstances will teach you and speak to you. God will speak to you in your circumstances. Remember I said the Band of Brothers conference changed my life? It did in numerous ways. We have had a bunch of them. And one of the circumstances that God used to change my life was actually, it's going to be presented to you all on Sunday evening, November 5th. You thought the weekend was busy enough. We're about to make it busier. Actually, not busier, productive. I hate the word busy. I'm not busy. I'm productive. Sunday night, November 5th, 6 p.m., Pastor Eric Bimber, who's already been ordained as a pastor within Bridge City Church, is officially going to be set in as the Murraysville campus pastor, which is awesome. We're excited about that. Pastor Eric's one of those guys. I'm going to get to share the rest of my life with him. He's not going anywhere. There's a covenant relationship there. I'm excited to be there to see him officially set in as the campus pastor in Murraysville. He's been functioning as associate pastor, and it's going to be an exciting evening. But also that evening, Pastor Keith Tusey's going to be there, Pastor Mike Free, a couple of the other guys that are coming in for the Band of Brothers conference. And we're going to have a night where we maybe set in some other people into some roles. Some people that are ready to step up and say, hey, listen, I really want to step in to move forward and go somewhere. We had something similar to this years ago at a Band of Brothers conference, and Pastor Rick was calling forward the sons of the house. It's important. You know, hey, if you're a son of the house, I'm going to call you forward and recognize you and pray over you. And I was standing in the back. I remember. He's going to call my name. Standing in the back, right in the back of North Braddock campus, there was we didn't call it the connection point, I think it was the concierge center at this point. No, it wasn't even that yet. This was like 15 years ago. I remember there was a big sword behind me. It was a men's conference, guys. Standing, he's going to call me. Do the one eye peek, you know? Maybe he's going in alphabetical order. He never called. He never said, Nick Stepanovic. Never happened. And I remember it was one of the first times I heard God. And he said, you could be angry at that man, or you could be angry at yourself for not changing the things that I told you to change a while ago. Like, I want to be angry at him, God. That's way easier. Is there like a third option maybe you want to throw out there? And he gave me a third option. He said, you know what you need to do. So the time ended, and I remember going to Pastor Rick, and I apologized to him for being so stubborn and being slow and not doing the things that God was calling me to do. And then God just put his foot on the accelerator, and we went. We went. So listen, God wants to take you somewhere. And it's time for us to take our foot off the brake. John 14, 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to reveal himself to me. I want him to make himself known. I want everything that he has for me to manifest in my life and in our church. I want everything to be visible and clear. I want everything to be able to be shined upon us as a church and our families and our children and our children's children. I want there to be such a huge, huge mantle that is passed on upon generations because of the love that we have for him. I want our relationship with Jesus to be so known and understood that it not only impacts the people in this room, but it impacts the people outside of these walls. I want us to understand the authority that we get to walk in, the delegated power that is given to us. I love the fact that we have the same power that Jesus has, and he gave it to us freely. Listen, there's a few things I really enjoy. I've loved them since I was a kid. I don't know why. It started with my grandfather. He gave me a pocket knife. He gave me a pocket knife, and it just, I loved it. It was like he gave me something powerful. And he's like, don't cut yourself. And the first thing you do when you get home, you accidentally cut yourself, and you have to hide it from your mom. What'd you do? Nothing. It happened with Lennon already. Grammy gave Lennon a pocket knife of Pappy's. It's a little pen knife. It's sharp too. And he loves it. He knows he's not allowed to have it yet. But he takes it down. He touches it every once in a while. And Rachel caught him. He was holding his little finger. He's like, what'd you do? Nothing. Did you have Pappy's penknife? No. You sure? It's over there. Did you cut your finger? No. I love pocket knives. I love keys. I always loved keys as a little kid. Even if they didn't do anything. I just always loved having a key ring with keys on it. Because I felt like he gave me something. I remember when Pastor Rick gave me keys to the church. He said, hey, I'm coming in and out and I need keys. And he's like, oh yeah, absolutely. He reached in his briefcase and gave me his key ring. All of the keys. I was like, don't you need these? He's like, you'll soon find out that if you don't have keys, you don't get called. So you can take mine. Yeah. I soon found out. This is when we just had the North Braddock campus. I soon found out that you get called in the middle of the night, hey, I need into the building, or there's something going on at the building. I'm like, you dirty dog, man. You knew. You knew. He's a smart man. Jesus has given, he's given us keys to the kingdom. I love flashlights too. I've always loved, I don't know why. There's something about it. Is there any other guys that love flashlights? I do. Just two? I'm serious. You think I'm kidding? Here. Look at this thing. Look. Look at that. Look how tiny that is. That's sick. Put that right there. Jesus wants to illuminate everything in your life if you let him. And he's given you the authority to illuminate other things in other people's lives too. You know, we had victory and freedom over the weekend. Men and women experienced victory and freedom in their lives. We prayed over people at the first. And if you attended Victory and Freedom, I pray that you walk in victory and freedom the remainder of your life. But I want to invite some people to something. Tomorrow night is Celebrate Recovery. And as a ministry, it helps you get over every hurt, habit, or hang up in your life. And it's at our North Braddock campus at 6:30 p.m. And I'm going tomorrow. It's an open house. And if you'd like to go with me, I'd like to invite you. This isn't the first time that I've gone and taken people with me, but tomorrow's a little bit less embarrassing because you say, oh, I'm going with Pastor Nick. But this is a ministry that I believe in deeply. Because in order to get past our past, we need to be honest with ourselves and reveal it. Or in order to get past some things that are going on currently in our life and allow for God to speak through that circumstance, we need to be honest. I've never gotten a chip when I'm there. I think tomorrow might be the day I go up and get a chip. I just need to make it through the rest of the day and not get angry with somebody in traffic. I'm believing I can do it. I'm kidding. I don't have a road rage issue. I'm just messing with you guys. Maybe I do. Maybe I just need to get real with myself. Let's turn to Luke 6. We're going to start landing the plane. Thank you for flying with Bridge City Airways today. When they came down from the mountain, you know, obviously the disciples did exactly what we're telling you all to do. They spent time with Jesus. The disciples stood with Jesus on a large, level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from as far north as North Huntington. And Elizabeth Township and North Versailles, Portview, Glassport, Keysport, all the surrounding areas. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. The result of this time was them obviously spending time with Jesus, and all these people were, you know, testifying of this. But there was a proximity to Jesus. They were close to Jesus. The disciples were with him. They were spending time with him. And then they were being used instantly. There was no waiting. So many times, we're just waiting. You know, when Rachel and I started coming to the church was way smaller in numbers. You couldn't hide. There was no hiding. You know, there was, what, 125 people at that point. Then we grew back up to about 200, and then we started growing again. And you couldn't hide, and I can never hide. I've never been good at hide and seek. 6'7" guy walking in with a 5'4" girl, you stick out like a sore thumb. We're way bigger now. We have 2 worship experiences, 4 locations. It's really easy to hide. And it's even better when somebody leaves one campus and goes to the next, like they're moving churches. Like, you know, we're the same church, right? And then we have a big worship experience with all the locations, and you show up and they look at you like, oh. Or somebody leaves White Oak, goes to North Braddock, and I go preach there, and they're like, oh my, he's here. I didn't want him to know. So, my question is, you know, where's God working at in your life? Where's he working at in your life? What does he have his hand on in your life? What's that thing he wants to heal? What's that thing he wants you to move forward from? What's that thing he wants you to testify of his great power and glory? Is it something he wants to change within your marriage, within the way you're parenting, within the way you handle your finances, within the way you honor your workplace? What is it? Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's the way you think about yourself. I don't know. I can't answer it for you. I will if you want me to, because I know a lot about some of you. I hold that position of pastor in your life, and I honor it and privilege it. I humble myself. What's he have his hand on for our church and for you within the church? You know, so many people think, oh, they're fine. There's no room for me to serve. Oh, there's room. You're thinking about here and now. I'm thinking about 3 worship experiences. I'm thinking about 4. I'm thinking about when God blesses us with that building that seats 1,000 people. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking 30,000 foot view. Remember I just said thank you for flying Bridge City Airways? Listen, you got to have a pilot that's flying, and they're not just thinking about taking off and landing. They're thinking about the flight in between. And the next flight, and the next flight, and the next flight, and the next flight. You're like, oh, they got enough worship team members. No, we don't. There's somebody out there, you play drums. There's somebody out there, you play the bass guitar, and you're afraid to tell somebody. Because you're sitting on your gift. You're sitting on it. I'm not going to tell anyone. God will reveal it. You know, his word says everything will be revealed. Either you reveal it or he does it. Either you play show and tell or he's going to. What does God have his hand on in the world around you? How does he want to use you in the world around you? Outside of these walls. You know, it's powerful when you allow for the aroma of the kingdom to just ooze off of your life. It's amazing. You know, Rachel and I are just out the other day. I'm at the self-checkout line, just self-checking out. And guy says, are you from White Oak? I mean, yeah. And who are you? I introduced myself. I was like, do I know you? He said, no, I've seen you around. I'm like, all right. Are we going to go anywhere else with this conversation? Like, where are you from? He's like, oh, I'm from White Oak. I was like, oh, cool. Do we know any of the same people? Like, he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, I got to keep prying. I was like, where did you go to McKeesport? Yeah, what year did you graduate? 2013. Oh, you know, my brother-in-law. And then we kept going. We went fine. I invited him to church. So you got to come see all the people we just talked about, 9 a.m., 10:45. And he started telling me about his church that he grew up in, how they're struggling because all the people are old and they're dying. Let the aroma of Jesus just come off your life, and people will start inviting themselves. And they're like, oh, that's just because you're the pastor. No, it's not. Because it happened way before that. Let Jesus permeate off of your life. Come off the mountain with him. Spend time with him, and then go off the mountain and see what happens. I'm telling you, it works 100% of the time, 100% of the time. Last verses I'm going to read. I'm just going to ask you, close your eyes and just allow for the word of God. Just no distractions. Don't think about anything. Just allow for these verses to just sink in. John 15:4-8. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask for will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. That's the Message translation. I just love just the simplicity of it. God has so much more for us. And it all comes from being connected to him. Lord, I pray that we would be fruitful. Lord, I pray that because of that fruit, others would get connected to you. Lord, I pray for everybody that could hear my voice, that we've all had that moment where we've received you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not received you as their Lord, as their Savior, that has not had that moment, that they've repented of their past, accepted the forgiveness and the payment for their sin on your cross, may today be their day. May today be the day that they cry out to you as the leader and Lord into their future. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you that I was just praying for and speaking to, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need today to be my day where I repent of my past, receive your forgiveness, and accept you as Lord and leader into my future. If that's you today, just slip your hand up to heaven so that we can pray with you, we can encourage you, we can empower you and equip you, and the heavens can rejoice alongside you. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I see that hand. Thank you, God. Anyone else today? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The heavens rejoice, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anyone else today? Don't let this moment pass. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. Thank you for the blessing that it is to be called to this house. God, continue to use us to effect change within this community.